So if you have a reason to thank God this morning, why don't you say it to us out loud, okay? Anybody? Linda says her grandchildren. How did you get here today, Linda? Okay, I was wondering. I said, that's an awful big... Oh, okay. Good job. Well, thank the Lord for children. Anybody else? Yes, Jerry. Yeah, amen. Amen. Now we're commanded to give thanks and everything, aren't we? Anybody else? Yeah. Who said that? John? Okay. Good. John, you didn't raise your hand. Anybody else? Hey, Diana. So watch out for Tony with a gun. He'll hit you. That's good. That's good. And I've seen Tony recently. He looks good too. He looks good. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Amen. God's grace. Okay, that's enough. Pardon me? Okay. My wife has a hat. Yes, Diana. I thank the Lord for all of you who show up on Sunday morning, even though you're in pain. And I know some of you are in pain constantly. And I've been taught that lesson this week, as I've been dealing with the pain of that accident. Lord willing, that pain will go away December 17th when I have surgery on my spine. But I just thank the Lord for you guys and your faithfulness. Coming even when you don't feel like it. And so thank you. Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. The children, you are will be dismissed shortly, but we're going to read God's word together, okay? And I want you to listen to it. I want you to hear what God is telling us today. Galatians chapter 1. And this will be our fifth sermon in the first chapter of Galatians. We're going to get through the first chapter today. Galatians chapter 1, the words will be projected on the screen. I'm going to ask you to stand up in honor of God's word as I read this portion. Galatians 1, beginning in verse 1, these are the very words of God to us this morning. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Everybody? Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism. I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my father. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I may preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him for 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They were only hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. This is God's word. You may be seated. Let's pray. As soon as I finish praying, the children are dismissed to Junior Church. Precious Heavenly Father, we heard from you this morning. We've heard you read your word read a couple times this morning. And we're saying, so thank you, Lord, that you've preserved it all these years. And you've given it to us this morning in our own language. And your Holy Spirit, the author of these words, has already begun his work in our hearts and minds this morning. And he will continue using it to conform us to the image of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, give us hearts that are fully devoted to you. These next few minutes, Lord, take away any distractions that we came in with here. And may we really listen intently to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our hearts this morning. Using your word, this I pray in Christ's name, amen. Children, you're dismissed at this time. Junior church is for children up to 10 years old. So if you're 10 and under, you can go if your parents let you. I think we have enough help out there. Nice to see so many children here this morning. Thank you, those who are here today visiting. As I read this passage this week again for the umpteenth time, and as you heard me reading it this morning, I hoped you sensed a real sense of urgency on Paul's part defending the gospel. The gospel is the good news that man is made right with God through faith alone in Christ alone. That's the gospel. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was enough for God to accept us. Men had come to the churches of Galatia soon after Paul and Barnabas had departed. And they had become preaching a distorted gospel once Paul and Barnabas had left, a version of the gospel that included the death of Christ, but it included works as well. One particular work that they emphasized above others was the circumcision of the flesh. And beginning in verse 11, because we've already studied the first 10 verses, he wants them to know. You see that? For I want you to know. He wants them to be totally convinced. He wants them to understand without a doubt. Why? Because their hearts are troubled. Look at verse 7. These false prophets, these false teachers have troubled their hearts. Paul is not angry at the believers for beginning to believe this distorted gospel. He's disappointed, but he's angry at these false teachers who have distorted and perverted the gospel of grace. And he wants them to know. He does not want them to question their faith. They have been wavering. Their hearts have been stirred up. They're agitated in their soul. They are beginning to doubt the words of the Apostle Paul. And Paul wants to strengthen their faith with this letter. So how is he going to strengthen their troubled hearts? How is he going to strengthen their faith? Well, the text tells us, doesn't it? We don't have to imagine. We don't have to speculate. He says, the gospel that I preached, the gospel preached by me, is not man's gospel. From that, we can assume that part of the false message that these men who had come after Paul said is that Paul's gospel is a false gospel. Paul's gospel really isn't from God. It's a man-made gospel. Paul got together with some other men and they concocted a gospel contrary to the one that we are preaching, which is the true gospel. Paul made up this message in conjunction with other men, some of them even apostles. And Paul states here unequivocally just the opposite. He says, the gospel that I preach is not man's gospel. And then he uses that word for, he's going to explain why it's not man's gospel. He's going to tell us why it's not man's gospel. He did not receive it from any man, nor was he taught it by any man. That is how people learn. Especially a Pharisee that Paul was. They are taught. They are taught by other men. He was taught by his parents. He was taught by his teachers growing up. And most recently, he has been taught by one of the renowned Pharisees in Jerusalem, Gamaliel. They pass on the traditions of the elders. And he is saying the gospel is not a man-made religion. It's not a man-made system of justification that is passed down from one man to another. Now, Paul was a learned man. He studied. He was very, very intelligent. He had one of the best teachers of the law. But Paul is saying, I received all my other instruction via other men, but I did not receive the gospel in the traditional way. No, the gospel was preached to me, was taught to me, was received by me through a revelation of Jesus Christ. I received the gospel straight from God. There was no middleman. And in verse 13, he uses that word for again, and he's going to explain how he received the gospel straight from God. He's going to give his abbreviated version of his testimony. He's going to give us his life before he met Christ. He's going to tell a little bit how he met Christ, and then he's going to talk about what happened to him after he met Christ. Before he met Christ, Paul says that he was pretty steeped in Judaism. See that in verse 13. I was extremely jealous for Judaism, and I outpaced all the people of my age. I was extremely zealous in the ways and traditions of the elders of Judaism. He says that there. Paul is basically saying, I was a fanatic for Judaism. You know, you see these fans all dressed up in the colors of their teams. Paul was that kind of man. If he was a Colts fan, he would be here today dressed up in blue. He was a fanatic. And he says, I was top of the class. I knew the law. I knew it backwards and forwards. And I was very religious. The law was complicated. Because the Pharisees not only had the law of God, they added on all kinds of other laws, man-made laws. Judaism was a man-made religion, but not the gospel. And because he was such a fanatic for Judaism, consequently, he says, I persecuted the church of God. And I persecuted it violently. In other passages, we have it described Paul dragging people out of their homes. He would come to your house, you would open the door, and he and his men would go in there and drag out the Christians. He tried to destroy the church of God, killing them, persecuting them, imprisoning them. Why? Because it was antithetical to everything he was taught and believed. Paul is basically saying, before I came to Christ, I hated the gospel that I once now, hated the gospel that I now preach. And if anybody knew what a works-based religion looked like, it was Paul. Paul knew what it was like to work, to gain a right standing before God. You had to obey the law meticulously. Paul says, I had my DTH, my doctorate in theology. You know, graduating classes, you see all these distinguished professors, they have their robes and their tassels and their caps and their cords. Paul was that man. Any graduating class of Pharisees, he was up there front with all the bling of an educated man. Paul was dead set against anyone who taught and believed differently than him, especially Christ followers, especially those of the way, and that's what they taught Christianity back then. And he made it his aim to destroy those who claimed that being made right with God was by grace alone, no works necessary. I was a religious man devoted to God, the God of Israel. And what I was doing in my persecution and killing and imprisoning was actually, it was for God. I was defending God and his honor. I was defending God and Judaism. Unknown to Paul, Paul was a fulfillment of Jesus Christ's own words regarding men like him. This is what he said in John 16. Sorry for my voice, it's going all over the place. I'm like you young men, my voice is changing. John 16, verse 2, this is what Jesus says. about the religious after he leaves. He says, they will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. That's Paul. He thought he was serving God by persecuting his church. So Paul begins by saying, my gospel isn't from man because I know what a man-made system of religion looks like. It always includes works. It always includes self-effort. I think I told you this story one time. I was translating for a Brazilian man. He was coaching down in Brazil while I was down there coaching baseball. And one of my friends had hired, not hired, he had asked a group of American baseball players to come down. And he was using it as an opportunity to spread the gospel. Well, this man, who was the coach, was a Buddhist man. He did not believe in Jesus Christ. And we drove, and as we drove, he asked me a question. He says, Ken, what's the difference between Christianity and all the other religions of the world? I said, well, all the other religions of the world say that you can only approach God by doing good things. God will only accept you if you do the right things. Christianity is that God approached you first by giving you his son, Jesus Christ, and the only thing you need to do is believe. He had something to think about that day. I'd never know if he became a believer. I believe he's still alive. You can say a prayer for him right now. Well, in verse 15 of chapter 1, he continues his argument for the truthfulness of the gospel that came to him through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice how Paul changes the emphasis of his testimony. Up to this point, it was all about him. It was about my former life in Judaism, how I was advancing in Judaism, how I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father. That's called a man-centered righteousness. Now in verses 15 and 16, he talks about what God has done for him. It's not about what he's doing for God, but what God has done for him. God set him apart by his grace. Before he was even born, just like Jeremiah. Oh, Isaiah was this morning, wasn't it? I think of Jeremiah too. He called me by his grace. He was pleased to reveal his son to me. This is talking about his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. That you can find that in Acts chapter 9. If you're not familiar with it, you can look it up and read it later. But basically, Paul was breathing threats against the Christians. He was going to Damascus from Jerusalem to persecute Christians, and on the way, he didn't get knocked off his horse because the scripture doesn't tell us he was on a horse. But he did get knocked to the ground. And he heard a voice from heaven, and it said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to Paul. He revealed himself to him. Why? Verse 16, for the purpose of preaching him. Not preaching the gospel, but preaching Christ. The gospel and Christ are synonymous. And he was to speak Christ or preach Christ, preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul is saying the gospel is not a man's invention. It began with God, it ends with God. His grace set me apart for the gospel. His grace called me to a life apart for preaching the gospel, preaching Christ. His grace revealed to me the gospel. His grace revealed to me Christ. Reveal. Second time he's used that word in this passage. Verse 14 and then verse 12. The Greek word apokalypto. I think I'm saying that right. I don't know Greek. It means to expose or to reveal something previously unknown. Previously, I would not even begin to imagine this if Christ initially didn't tell me what exactly it was. And that's why he says, I didn't get it from man. You know, if I said I had something here in my hand, I'm going to show you, you would probably think it's something that you already know, right? But that's not what Paul is saying. I'm going to show you something in my hand that you've never seen before. Voila! And you're all going to say, what in the world is that? And that's what the gospel is. I did not get it on my own. I did not get it from man, because before Christ, I was an expert in destroying the gospel. I never even imagined that this was the gospel. God selected me before I was even born. And just at the right time, he revealed this gospel to me. I was set apart for the gospel. I was set apart for the express purpose of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, when Paul says that, he's not excluding the Jews. Paul loved the Jewish people. They were his own. In Romans 9, verse 2 and 3, he says this, I have a great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers and my kinsmen according to the flesh. But when God called him to preach to the Gentiles, there were already men called to preach to the Jews. Paul was set apart from the rest of the apostles because his job, his ambition, was to preach the good news, was to preach Christ to the Gentiles. Remember, Paul was not taught the gospel by men. It was revealed to him by Jesus Christ. And so he continues his argument, saying that this revelation, after I received this revelation directly from the Lord Jesus Christ, after I received it, I did not consult with anyone. You see that in verse 16. I didn't check in with others to make sure it was all right. So sure of I was I of this revelation, so sure was I that I had seen the Lord Jesus Christ, that I didn't need to consult with anybody. Now, this is Paul. This is exceptional. We don't receive revelations the way Paul received in the day. Paul did not look to Ananias when he went to him in Damascus to confer whether or not the gospel he received was right. In fact, Paul was so sure of it that he began preaching it immediately. Acts 9, right after his conversion experience, right after he began receiving this revelation by the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says this, after taking food, he was strengthened for some days. He was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. He didn't confer with anybody. He began preaching it, and the saints, the Christians in Damascus, knew what Paul was saying was true. They were confounded. This Antichrist man who came to persecute us has now changed. He is now a preacher of the same gospel that we believe. So what did Paul continue to do with this revelation? If he didn't consult with others to see it was true, What did he do? Well, once again, we don't have to speculate. We don't have to guess because the text tells us, Paul tells us. He says, I went away into Arabia and then came back to Damascus, right where it all began. Now, we don't know what happened during that time in Arabia, that area west of the, east of the Jordan River, south of the Jordan River, south of the Dead Sea. Most likely, he was preaching to the Gentiles in Arabia. Most likely, he was in direct communion with the risen Christ during that time in the wilderness. We don't know. It's a mystery. Scripture does not tell us. What we can be sure of is that Christ was strengthening him and preparing him for ministry like he does with each one of us. Christ's gospel is the point of Paul's testimony. It's not man-made. Paul finishes out his argument by telling us what happened after Christ's revelation of the gospel to him. And he says that in beginning with verse 18. After 3 years in Arabia and Damascus, he said, finally, I went up to Jerusalem. But I only went up there 15 days, and I didn't go up there to confer about the validity of my message. I went up there to get acquainted with Cephas, Peter. I went up there to see or get to know, not the gospel, I knew the gospel. I went up there to know preachers of the gospel, Peter, and then one other apostle. This is the first mention that James, the half-brother of Jesus, was also an apostle. Once again, he's not getting the gospel in Jerusalem. That has already been revealed to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. So false teachers, beware. My gospel is not a false gospel. It is the true gospel. Galatians, believe me, not them. You want your heart to be strengthened? Believe in a gospel by grace alone, in faith alone, in Christ alone. At this point, the Galatians, as they're reading this letter, are probably thinking, this is wild, this is crazy, this is way out there in left field. And that's why Paul, knowing his audience, because he loved them, remember, he had spent a considerable period of time there in Galatia. He knew them. He knew their hearts were troubled. He says something to them. It seems sort of out of place, but it's not. He says, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking this is crazy, Paul, that things like that don't happen. God doesn't talk to you, revealing a message that has never been heard before. And he says, yes, he does. I swear by God that I'm telling you the truth. I am not lying. We've all done that, haven't we? We're telling a story and they're saying, oh, you're that's not true. And what do we say? Yeah, it is. I swear I'm telling you the truth. Right? That's what he's doing. Then he says, I swear. Then he says, I went to Syria. And Cilicia, that's up northern part, southern Turkey. That's in the area of where he was originally born, Tarsus, modern-day Turkey. And he says, I went there 14 years. Now, the churches in Jerusalem and Judea didn't know who I was. They just knew I was preaching the gospel. I never once conferred with others whether God told me through the revelation of his son was true. I knew it to be true. It wasn't from me. It was from the gospel. You get the point? He who was persecuted, this is what they said, he who was persecuting us and tried to destroy us is now glorifying God. The gospel revealed to Paul was now being revealed through Paul, and others saw it. The gospel is true, folks. It is, as Romans 1:16 says, the power of God for salvation to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. What you share with others, what we receive from Paul via the Holy Spirit of God in his word, is true. We don't need to dabble with it. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to soften it. We just need to, like Paul, what? Preach it. Preach Jesus Christ. It is the power of God for salvation to all who believed. No other message is needed. No other additions. We don't need to add music. We don't need to add light shows. We don't need to add anything. We just need to preach the gospel, and God, by his Spirit, will convert lost souls just like he did Paul so many years ago. And some of the salvations, some of the testimonies are amazing how God transformed us. And some of you here today have that type of testimony, don't you? I was walking this direction away from God, and God, by his grace, saved me. Through the preaching of the gospel, the means have changed. We don't receive direct revelations from God, but we do receive the word we feel to Paul through his witnesses. Christ did for us in the work of the cross everything that we could not do on our own. He justified us. He made us perfect. He made us acceptable to God. Jesus, who is the same today, yesterday, and forever, is the gospel. And the gospel is the same today, yesterday, and forever. The light of the gospel shines through you, dear brother and sister, just like it did Paul. And others, too, will glorify God as they see the gospel revealed through you. Let me read to you my closing passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you can turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 to 7. I'll give you a few seconds as I sip here some water. Paul says, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, and our jars have all kinds of cracks in them." Why do they have cracks? To show that the surpassing power in us belongs to God. Will you bow your heads with me in prayer? Precious Heavenly Father, this is your word. We have read it. I've explained it. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will use it, not only today, but throughout the rest of the day, throughout the rest of the week, and throughout the rest of the life, our lives, Lord. As we understand more fully the person and work of Jesus Christ, Lord, reassure our hearts this morning, if they're troubled, that our faith in Christ alone is enough. We don't need to doubt our salvation. We don't need to wonder if there's something I did that made God not love me anymore, that I've lost my salvation. If you have believed in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, your salvation is sure. Let not your heart be troubled this morning. I know there's some young people here this morning, and I know as a young person, I struggled a lot with my salvation. Lord, if I had only learned earlier, there was nothing I could do to earn your favor, and there's nothing I can do to lose it. Reassure them and others this morning. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Will you spend a few more additional moments in